Devotional Just In Time. Knowing and Doing. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verses 3 through 8. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was in the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, led the ark in the new cart. And when they brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was in the quiet place with the ark of God, Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel danced before the Lord with all manner of instruments of each wood, with harps, psalteries, tambourines, flutes, and timbrels. When they came to the threshing floor of Nahon, Uzzah stretched out his hand to the ark of God and held it, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for that rashness, and he fell down dead there by the ark of God. That is a strong word, but it was a case that happened, a case that happened because of the imprudence, not of that inexperienced boy. It was not only his imprudence, not only that of a king who wanted in a way to try to carry the ark towards the city, but also of a father who did not take into account the consequences of what could happen. Let me put you a little bit in context of the story. The ark symbolized the presence of God in the midst of the people. The ark was a wooden box. It had a lid on top, and on that lid there were two cherubim, one on each side. Inside the ark there were three important things that reminded Israel of how good God had been to them: the covenants that God had made with the people of Israel. One of them was the tablets of the law, Aaron's rod that budded, and the manna that they received in the wilderness. The ark for them was so important because God had said, as long as the ark is with you, my presence is going to be there with you. That is going to represent my presence. And in the time of the priest named Eli, the Philistines rose up in war against Israel. Israel, to feel that they were well and that they were going to win the battle, they took the ark to war. They took it out of the temple and took it to that place. And at a certain moment, the Philistines took the ark and stole it. From that moment on, they began to say, the glory of God was pierced. Time passed, and the Philistines could not have the ark in their land, and they returned it to Israel. And that is where all begins. When the ark is returned, it arrives to a place in the city, and the inhabitants of that city, when they see the ark, they are very happy, but at the same time, they wanted to see what was in there. And 70 of them fell instantly dead because there was something. God had declared and had said that no one could touch it, or that no one could look inside the ark, because there rested the presence of God. And God was very strict about it. It was not about how many good intentions people could have, because sometimes, because of good intentions, we make the biggest mistakes for not saying no and saying yes. Yes to look good and to try to help. And because it is my good intention, we end up doing wrong. As soon as this family saw that these seventy men died, they decided to move the ark from there to another place, and they took it to the house of Abinadab. In the house of Abinadab, the ark was there for 20 years. But what calls my attention is that never during those 20 years, the Bible mentions that Abinadab was blessed in everything. Simply, the ark rested there. Maybe the presence of God was in his house, but he did not rule his house, and that is where I start to compare and say, why sometimes we have so much time attending a place, attending a church, and our life is still the same. This happens simple because we have received God in our house, but we still keep saying, Lord, stay still here or there. Thank you for coming, but I still rule here. And when we want to be the ones in control, when we want to be the ones in charge in the house, the most probable thing is that we make mistakes again and again. The saddest thing is that we do not think that we are the only ones who pay for the mistakes, but that our children can also receive the result of those consequences. It is important that God's presence is in our house, very important, but not just like when you win a trophy and you exhibit it there in the living room for people to see it. It is not just that God is in your house to help you, to put out all the fires that at some point you have caused, or for him to come and help you pay a debt, or because you simply need him to heal you. Sometimes we have God as an amulet. God is not an amulet. It is not that if I turn on Christian songs, I will do well. It is not that if I start praying, I will do well. It is not that if I start praying, I will do well. It is not that if I start the day praying, then the augurs me a good day. No, God is not an amulet. God is life, and as life, we have to live it and allow him to rule our being. It's not about asking him, Lord, come into my house. It is about telling him, Lord, rule my life, rule my house. That is why there is a difference there, because while the ark was in Abinadab's house, everything was normal. But if you continue reading this word in 2 Samuel in chapter 6 in verse 11, when the ark was in another house of a man named Obed-Edom, Jethel, in 3 months, Obed-Edom was blessed. There is a difference. In the house of Abinadab, it lasted 20 years. In the house of Obed-Edom, it lasted 3 months. But Abinadab did not see in 20 years. Obed-Edom saw it in 3 months. What was the difference? If in the two houses was the ark, it is not just that. The presence of God is at home, but what is the place that God occupies in our house? That is what we have to start meditating. What is the place that God occupies in our house? Is he ruling? Is he directing? That is the question we must ask ourselves. Because if he does not govern our house, we are still being governed under our own wisdom and under what our heart thinks and feels. And let me tell you that the heart of a man is very deceitful and perverse. Now, I want to focus on something, and I hope you can understand me. Abinadab had 2 sons. It was written that the ark of God could only be carried on the shoulders by certain people, chosen for that work. Levites set apart to carry the ark. David kind of missed it. David brought some carts, some oxen to pull the ark, mounted on a cart and celebrate. But orders are orders. Obedience is obedience. God's statue is a statue. And he had decreed that the only way that the ark could be moved from one place to another was for a specific people to carry it on a cart. But David did not do it that way. He wanted to impress. He wanted to use the model that the Philistines had used. And this brought a great consequence. Now the problem was not only David's problem, who ignored the law, knowing the law, because he wanted to do what he thought was the right thing to do. And in God, it is not about thinking or believing or supposing or interpreting the word in my way. It is about doing it the right way, as it is written there. But what I'm going to do is that Abinadab did not do what he thought was the right thing to do. Was that Abinadab, as father of the house, ignored the commandment, ignored the order, ignored what was written, and wanted not to contradict the king. On the contrary, suddenly he wanted to be in a good position or suddenly he had a good intention and suddenly he would have said, but it is that if we help the king, if we help him, he would have said, I am not going to help him. But if we help the king, then he's going to keep us pending for a political position. What do I know? And he did not think. He was not wise. And he sent his sons ahead so that they could expect the worst. I hope you can understand me in these moments. The responsibility we have as parents and as children too, because both the father and Nora, how it should be done in the right way. How many times we have known that it is the right thing to do, but we have not done it correctly. Not only Abinadab ignored what God had said, but Uzzah and Ahio, his two sons, did not stop their life to tell the king, to tell their father what was wrong. How many times we have ignored what is not right because we want to avoid a problem, or because we don't want our children to call us old-fashioned, or because we are in the modern era and things have changed. You know how many parents today are crying over their children's graves? Or how many children today, because they did not listen, are in a hospital bed, not because God sent them there? We have a concept. Is God punishing me? Or how many children today, for not paying attention, are in a hospital bed, not because God sent them there? We have a concept. And let me repeat it. We think that God is punishing me. No, that is not God's way of disciplining us. It is simply the consequence of our own actions for ignoring the word. What happened? Abinadab sent his sons to death, and the first to fall was Uzzah. No one could be in that place next to the ark if it had not been established by God. And that was a place that did not correspond to Uzzah. It corresponds to another, but Uzzah had received an order from his father, and his father an order from the king. But when you know who you are in God and where you are going, you prefer to please God instead of men. And Abinadab did not think about it. Simply for a good intention and for trying to please, he signed the sentence of his son. And when Uzzah goes to grab the ark because he thinks that he's going to fall, that the ark is going to fall from the cart, as you imagine, Abinadab crying in the box for his son. But today that you are listening to me, that it doesn't happen to you like Abinadab. After 20 years of having the ark in his house, someone could say, or he himself could question and say, what do I receive now as a reward? That my son dies? And if we put ourselves in Abinadab's position, we would feel bad and we would question God. Lord, so much time, so many years serving you, so much time attending church, and the only thing I see is this or the other. I am not able to advance. On the contrary, every day I go from bad to worse. I imagine Abinadab looking at the sky saying, and now what? I offered myself for 20 years to keep your presence, to keep the ark at home, and you take a son away from me. That is strong. I'm telling you, it's strong. I imagine that silence must have reigned at that moment. Or many times we believe in our self-righteousness, that we don't deserve the evil we are living. It is that I don't deserve it because I am good. I do this, I do good works, I give alms, or I give my tithe, I give my offering, I attend church, I behave well, and because things are not getting better, it is not about the things that you think are right, that you perceive to be right. It is about doing what is right. And when I ignore what God has said, I can think that I am right, and this is how we lead the life and run the home. How are you running the home today? Are you ignoring what isn't right? Or are you making a stop and putting your home in order so that God's blessings will remain and be the one who rules in it? Let's pray. Father, today I thank you for this word. I put before you every life that is receiving it. I hope, Lord, that you open their understanding so they can receive the word. understanding, and to each one, you speak according to what they need to hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, your pastor and friend Elias Hoyos has spoken to you. Remember that God always comes just in time. Blessings.